Blog Talk Radio.
Hey. All right. Hello and welcome. This is Overseer Tim. Amen. With Watchman on the Wall. Amen. I will be on here for a brief moment. I'm just going to be on here to introduce Walkman on the Wall. Amen. I'll be seeing the family event today. So blessings to all. And amen. We pray that you all had a blessed and wonderful week. Amen. We are awaiting the return of the King. Amen. I want to talk about the millennial earth. Amen. And the millennial reign, but we'll get into that next week. Amen. I may touch on some tomorrow. But, amen, here's Watchman on the Wall. Amen. And I believe he may be on for an hour, or if the Holy Spirit leads him to do the whole hour and a half. Amen. But nonetheless, I am grateful and thankful for my brother being here to help me out today and to go ahead and take over the show. So without further ado, brother, go ahead. And here he is, Watchman on the Wall, Elder Bazaar. Amen. Coming his own way, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit lead him and guide him. And, brother, you have a blessed day. I love you, and thank you for taking care of this for me. And you have. I'll be talking to you later.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
You got it, Doctor.
All right, Doc. This is Watchman on the Wall here on Global Link Ministry. Greetings in the name, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, letting you know that he is on his way back to Earth. Capital E-A-R-T-H, Earth, is in due for a visit. A visit from the Lord God Almighty coming back to this earth to straighten out everything that needs to be straightened out, because it's not going to be straightened out until he gets back. But at the meantime, you better know for sure, you better know for exactly, have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the babe that was born in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes 2,000 years ago, is coming back to this earth a full-grown man. Amen. God man. He was God child. He was God infant. Now he's God man. God in man. And the main reason that Jesus Christ was born, the main reason, is found in the book of St. John, 3rd chapter, 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Before we get into the message, I'm going to have prayer, and we're going to talk about why did Jesus come to this earth? What is the absolutely truth about Jesus Christ coming to this earth? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your love and your mercy. We ask you right now, through the blood and shedding of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for letting us have this opportunity to express your love that you have for the world, that you were willing enough to give up your life to save man from sin, death, hell, and the grave, and hell's fire. We thank you, Lord. We know that you did it out of the divine love, and we know that you're coming back again. We just ask you to use my lips of clay. Let me hide behind the cross, that through that, men may be saved forevermore. In Jesus' name, church, say amen. Yes, why did Jesus come to this earth? Why? The reason why he came is because Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they royally messed up. And I'm not blaming them. I mean, they had a choice. If God would have put anybody else in the Garden of Eden, a man, any other man, woman in the garden, the same thing would have happened. Because, number one, there is a system. There is a system that God will give man free will to choose the way he want to live. God gave man free will to choose the way that humanity want to live. You can live for what? You can live for sin, or you can live for righteousness in Jesus Christ. There's two things. Can't live no other way. If you live for sin, that means that Satan is your God. If you live for Christ, that means Christ is your God. Adam and Eve sinned, and sin traveled from Adam all the way down through 6 millennium. Man born in sin is shaped in iniquity. Every man, every woman, every girl, every boy, every baby that is ever born was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, because humanity was handed over to Lucifer. Oh, we know about Lucifer. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe that there's a devil. Some people say, I don't believe there's a God. I'm just here, just off a snap of a breath of a wind. And when I die, they can bury me or burn me. There ain't no such thing as a heaven. There's no such thing as a hell. I'm just an accident. But this is not true. This is not biblical. The Bible says God made man in his likeness and after his own image. And he placed Adam in the garden. He placed Eve in the garden. And Lucifer was in the garden. The devil was in the garden. And he had a plan. Satan had a plan. He had a plan to downfall the human race. Because at one time, Lucifer was the presence of God standing at the foot of his throne, protecting his throne. Again, God gave him the right to be the music director and the choir director in the heavenly beings, because God wanted Lucifer to direct the choir, to give the angels to praise him, who God Almighty wanted the angels to praise him. Satan would praise him. Satan would bow down to him. Why? Because God all by himself didn't make himself. Never been out of existence. He's always been, always will be, never cease to be. And by that, he is the creator and maker of everything. Nothing that is made could not be made without him. And he created Lucifer and brought him into existence. And by the beauty and the pride that Lucifer had, he thought he could overthrow God Almighty and rule the universe. That's what Lucifer thought he could do. But God didn't give the world over to Lucifer. He gave it to Adam and Eve. And Lucifer took it away from Adam and Eve because they did what? They disobeyed what God gave them the right to choose, to obey or disobey. When they disobey, sin entered into the human race. Adam brought sin into the human race, and that sin trait followed Adam all the way from the Garden of Eden across 6 millenniums, and everybody on this earth that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, did Adam cause the human race to fall. When the human race fell, Satan took over the human race, and he's been ruling the human race ever since the Garden of Eden. Now, you say, well, how do you know? If you would look at the condition of the world today, look at it. Look at it from the North Pole to the South Pole to the East and West. You will find nothing can anything good come from Lucifer. He is a destroyer. He is a liar. He is a murderer. He is everything opposite of what God is. Lucifer is totally hate. He hates. He hates God first. And he hates God because God dethroned him. So God gave the world to Adam and Eve, and Satan said, I'm going to take it away from him. So he deframed the human race, and they became wicked. The human race is wicked. I'm telling you now. The human race is wicked. All have sinned. Romans 3:23 say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every human being that was ever born, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, they're in the hands of Lucifer. So Lucifer took over. Because Adam and Eve sinned, God cast them out of the garden. And when he cast them out of the garden, they will never, never enter in again. The only time they will be able to enter into the presence of God, the human race will be able to live with God. The human race will be able to see God. The human race will be able to praise God. The human race will be able to know what the love of God is. They will share everything that God has to share with the human race to bring them back into the right, the right relationship with God himself. The only way that man can come back into the right relationship, listen to me now, the only way, ain't no other way, brothers and sisters, there is no other way a man can come back into the reconciliation with God Almighty but one man, not a dozen, not a half a dozen, not two, not one, not three, nobody can ever get in contact with God but by one man. And that one man is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. A million times over and a million times over that and a million times over that and a million and a quadrillion men forever. No man can get to God but by one man. And that man is Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, since he's the only man, how could he do that? Well, Jesus Christ is actually, uniquely, eternally, God Almighty in the flesh. God Almighty in the flesh. God himself became a human being. And the only way he could become a human being, he had to be born. Why? Because no man was ever born without sin but Jesus Christ. Woo! And since God is holy, is he holy? He's holy that the moon and the stars and the quasars and the galaxies is impure to his sight. God is so holy that nobody can approach him and look up on his face. They would disintegrate. Nobody. The closest man that ever got to God Almighty was Moses. And by him being a man, he wanted to see God. And God said, no man can see my face and live. Well, don't you know that if Moses couldn't see God and look upon God, who are you? Who am I that I can approach a holy God? Now, some people, they don't get it. They want to go to heaven, but they don't know God. They want to see God, but they don't know God. And here a man that had a close encounter with God, and God said, no human being, no mortal man can stand before me and look upon my face and live. And so if you cannot see God, and you cannot come and approach a holy God, how in the world you going to say that you're going to go to heaven and you are under the influence of Satan himself, the devil, you're in the flesh, your spirit is cut off, your soul is cut off from God, you don't know God, and no soul or spirit can ever live with God unless there's a change in his life from death to life. Well, how in the world can a man get to know God? Jesus Christ was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, seen of angels, came to this earth in the flesh, born of a Virgin Mary. And when he was born sinless. No sin. Why? Because God cannot sin. God is holy. God is pure. God is righteous. God is almighty. God is self-existent. God is omnipotent. God is God all by himself. And he's the only deity. He's the only God that's capable enough to become a human being. And when he became a human being, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, he was born sinless. Why? Because God cannot associate himself with sin. He hates sin. He dislodges sin. He's going to destroy sin. He's going to destroy Satan and all his cohorts, all the people that worship the devil, all the people that deny that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the human flesh, and turn away from the only gift that can bring eternal life, and that is the gift of God that he sent his what? Only son, wrapped in swaddling clothes in the manger of Bethlehem, Judea, 2,000 years ago. Nobody but him was in oh my God, nobody but him was in wrapped in swaddling clothes, death clothes. Only him. Listen, listen, listen what I got to tell you. Oh, my God, my God. People got Christmas wrong. They got it so wrong until they don't miss the purpose of Jesus Christ coming here. Jesus Christ didn't come to this earth, amen, for you to go out and shop and buy up the town and go in debt. He didn't come for Santa Claus. He didn't come for a bunch of rain gears. He didn't come for a bunch of parties and drinking and getting drunk. And he really didn't come. A lot of people say he come so the family could get together. Well, let me tell you something. He didn't come for that. What did he come for? He come to do one thing that no other person could do, no other deity could do, no other false god could do, nobody. He came to do one thing. Guess what it is? He come to die. He come to die for humanity. He come to die for the sins of the whole round world. He come to die for every human being up on this planet. He come to die, to suffer, to be hung on a tree, to drop his head and be put in the grave, and get up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, tells me exactly what he is going to do. The ninth chapter of the sixth verse of Isaiah gives us a picture of what it means to celebrate the so-called Christmas that people are saying this is Christmas. But Christmas is every day, because there's no other gift on this planet. No other gift was given from heaven, nothing but the Son Jesus Christ. Listen what Isaiah said. He said, for unto us a child is born. A child is born. A human being is born. A God child is born. And to us a son is given. A son is given, meaning that he always existed. The who? The Son of God. Well, who is God? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? God Almighty. The Son of God. God himself became the Son. A child was born. Who was the child? Son of God. Who is the Son of God? God Almighty. God Almighty. When did he come? He was born of a virgin. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And since he was born of God, since God is the Father, when he was born with a sinless, he was born sinless. He was born with a blood system. He had blood in his body, just like a human being. We got blood in our body, and that blood is the only source of life that a man can live through. Without blood in your body, you cannot live a physical life. You got to have blood in your body. When Christ came, he had blood in his body. It wasn't human blood. It was God's blood. And his blood is holy, 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 spotless, no wrinkle, no sin, no degradation. No, it was so perfect that man, they called him the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He's a holy child. And this same child that was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, stayed on this earth 33.5 years and died for the sins of the world so the world wouldn't go to hell in a handbasket. So the world could go to heaven and live with the Lord forever. So men, women, boys, and girls could be saved. By what? The blood of Jesus Christ, because that's the only blood that can save humanity. And man is a dead. Man is walking around today dead, spiritually dead. And they need a blood system. The blood system that man has is corrupt. The blood system that man has is filthy. The blood system that man has is a sinful bloodline. And so God Almighty had only one sacrifice, and that sacrifice was himself. There was no other God in heaven or on the other side of heaven or on the bottom of hell or on the left side of hell. Nowhere somebody could die for humanity and then get up from the grave and come back life again and rule the world at the same time. Nobody but God. And he sent his only begotten son, that Brother Bazaar wouldn't have to go to hell. There you go. That Brother Bazaar wouldn't have to go to hell. He died for the whole world, that the whole world, amen, could to avoid hell. The only way that a man could avoid hell, he's got to come to Jesus Christ. No, you ain't going to church. You can go to church, 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 you can pay your tithe, you can do this, you can do that, you can have a form of godliness, but you ain't got no power. You got to be born again by what? The blood of Jesus Christ, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And the only group that came around was the wise men from the east, the shepherd boys from the field. Only a few people was at the birth of Jesus Christ. I would count maybe about five or six people came and saw Jesus Christ for himself, that this was a true Messiah. So there wasn't a welcome committee. And yet still in the Old Testament, God made prophetic prophecy about the first coming of Jesus Christ. Over 45 prophecies was made before he came, and the world was dead. The world wasn't looking for him. The world didn't care if he came or not. The only thing they was worried about, and that was the Jews, that their Messiah was coming to defeat the Roman government. But when Jesus Christ came, he didn't come to defeat the Roman government. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. He came to seek the sinner, and that's what man is born. He's born a sinner. He walks like a sinner, talks like a sinner, looks like a sinner. Yeah, no man can have the image of God until he is born again. Yeah, a lot of people walking around today saying that they're saved, but they're walking in the image of Satan. Satan is a liar. He's a cheat. He's a backbiter. He's a non-believer. He does things against God. And if you walking against the blood of Jesus Christ and walking against his love and think you can get to heaven by working in the church, you think you can get to heaven by shaking the preacher's hand, you think you can get to heaven by your education, you think you can get to heaven by your looks and your status quo, you think you can get to heaven by the color of your skin, but you're not going to get to heaven but one way. That child that was wrapped in swaddling clothes in the manger, he come down here not to have a picnic. He didn't come down to play bingo. He didn't come down here to see the show that he was the Son of God. Even the people didn't believe he was the Son of God. He didn't have nobody. He didn't have to prove it to nobody that he was Son of God. He is the God. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Jacob. He's the God of eternity. He's the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And God couldn't find, good God Almighty, listen to what I'm trying to say. God couldn't find no other sacrifice. No other man could do what he done. No other man could do what Jesus done. And so that means that the only way you can get to God, you got to come by Jesus Christ. The name of denominations will not get you to heaven. My friends, I don't care if you Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic. I don't care if you all kinds of different occult religions is going out today that's claiming the name of Jesus Christ, but they tell me they're not on the main line. The main line is Jesus and Jesus alone. There was nobody before him, and there will be nobody after him, for he is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. So what Christmas is all about? Christmas is all about what? Jesus Christ and him only. Jesus Christ and him only. 33 years he came to this earth. God came here. God Almighty was on this earth. And he stayed here 33 and one half years. And all the miracles that he done, no other man did the miracles that he done before him or after him throughout eternity. But he didn't just come down here to do miracles. He come down here to die. Because somebody got to pay the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only one that paid the price. Good God Almighty, do you realize? Do you realize what that means? If God couldn't find no other sacrifice, and he had to let himself sacrifice through his son, Jesus Christ, because God can do, but he can't do anything. And this is one thing he can't do. He only died once. He only suffered once. He only was resurrected once. He went back to heaven. He's coming back again. And there was nobody else that did that. But what really happened, he come down here to be a sin offering, a sin offering. He come down here to actually die. Listen to me. Die for your sins. All your sins. Your sin of commission, your sin of omission, your willful sin. He come to die. He came to do what? Take your place. Check this out. He come down here to die to take your place in the manger. And when we say we are celebrating Christmas, people don't even worship Christ. You're not worshiping Christ buying and selling and having parties. You're not worshiping him. You're not honoring him. You're not respecting him. You don't even fear him or who he is and what he is. He's God Almighty in the flesh. And God took everything he got himself to die for you, for you to bow your head in repentance and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming down here, suffering for me, persecuted for me, talked about, lied on, ridiculed, and bad. You come down here for me to take my place because I wouldn't have been able to do it at all. Lord, have mercy. I wouldn't have been able to die on the cross for my own sin. There's no power of resurrection in sin. There's no power in lying, whoremongering, prostituting. There ain't no power in that. There's no power at all. The only thing that power has to do is to destroy your heart, destroy your soul. So there's no power in sin. It takes the power of God of righteousness to take unrighteousness. And he took all my unrighteousness. Can you imagine if I had to go to the cross myself and die? Every human being had to go to the cross for themselves and die for their own sins? Good God Almighty. Think about it. Would you be able to take what Jesus took Would you be able to take the whipping and the lashing and the spitting on and the kicking and the embarrassment and the ridicule? Would you be able to take all the crowns of thorns placed on your head? Would you be able to take the pierced side? Would you be able to take a vinegar and water, which he refused on Calvary's cross? Would you be able to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Would you be able to say, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing? Would you be able to go down to the bowels of hell and latch on to Satan and take the keys of death and hell and come back to life? Would you be able to do that? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to go far as the Garden of Gethsemane. You wouldn't have been able to go far. Maybe some people wouldn't be able to go to the Last Supper, because there was only 12 there, and those 12 left him. They left him. Peter denied it. Judas betrayed him and sold him for $52, 30 pieces of silver. So nobody was able to go one step with Jesus Christ, because what Jesus Christ did, he took your lying, your backbiting, your incest, your gambling, your whoremongering, and your unbelief, and he became a sin sacrifice. In other words, the sins of the world were laid on him, and he became a sinner. Uh-oh. He, not his own sin, but he took your sin. He became what you are. What are you? You're a liar. You're a backbiter. You're a whoremonger. You're a drunkard. You're a drug addict. You're everything that Jesus Christ is not. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ was God Almighty. Jesus Christ was the only man, a God-man, that could take the penalty of sin. And they took him. And I can see you now. I can see you now with your lying self. And I'm not leaving myself out. Come on now. I'm not behind no closed door saying, well, I'm all this. With your lying self, with your backbiting self, with your unbelief self, with your lustful self, Jesus became what you are. And he was willing enough to take it. He was willing enough to let the world kill him. For what? For your sins. For my wrongdoing. From everything that's not like God, unholiness was laid on him. And he became a substitute. The only substitute that could do what? Take the penalty for sins of the whole world. Sit down at the table with 12 disciples and give them bread and the fruit of the vine. This fruit of the vine represents my blood. This bread represents my body. Take it, eat it. Show my death until I come back again. He did that 2,000 years ago. This is the same child that was in the manger. This is the 12-year-old boy that was in the temple. This was a 30-year-old man that got baptized by John the Baptist. This is a 33.5 years he stayed on the earth and did his ministry. He was here 33 years, but the last 3 years he called 12 disciples. And the 12 disciples recognized this was the same man 33 years ago that was laying in a manger. This is the man that healed the sick and raised the dead. This is the man that spoke to a dead man and he got up. This is the man that walked on the water. God man. God in man. This is the man that turned water to wine. This is the man that fed 5,000 with 2 fishes and 5 bottles of bread. This is the man. But it was all right then. It was all right. Everybody seen him and seen what he done. But when it came to Calvary, when it came to the Last Supper, the group began to thin out, because Jesus said, listen, I've got to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Suffer for who? Suffer for me. suffer for me. Suffer for me. I could help because I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, my mother conceived me. I inherited that from Adam and Eve. But when I got the age of accountability, I became responsible for my own sin. And I know I sinned, and I know you sinned. But Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago paid the price. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He paid the price that I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. That's what he died for. He died to save me from hell, save me from sin, save me from Satan, save me from the burning pits of hell itself. Because let me tell you, my friend, there is a hell. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. And Jesus Christ told us and warned us about hell. This is the same child that was in the manger. This is the same child that said, repent or shall likewise perish. This is the same child that spoke to the Pharisees and the same Sadducees. This is the same boy that taught in the temple the philosophers and theologians. This is the same man that trained 12 disciples, and one of them betrayed him, Judas, and then Peter denied him. This is the same man that when the Sanhedrin court came and got him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't say a mumbling word. He didn't resist him. He said, I must go. Oh, Lord have mercy, I got to go. I got to go to Calvary. Yeah, I got to go down. In the Garden of Gethsemane, and there I got to pray. And he said, now when I pray, I'm going to ask the Lord if you can find another way that I can escape the wrath of God. Oh, that's what he took. He took the wrath of God. God laid his own wrath. He laid our wrath upon himself. Yeah, and he said, I'm going, if there's another way, not my will, but your will be done. And he prayed and said, well, God could not come up. Listen to what I'm saying. God could not come up with another avenue. He could come up another way to escape this persecution and this death and this whipping and this ridicule. I can't find nobody because the animal world was getting short on turtle doves, and it wasn't not possible that the turtle doves and goats and lambs and bullocks could take away the sins of the world. No, it was a type and shadow of a better office. And that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about saving souls, repenting to Jesus Christ. That little baby that you were saying in the manger, oh, you're talking about a beautiful child, a holy child. I don't believe he cried. And I love, Lord Hammer, don't you realize that child was in the manger and the world was still under his control? Good God Almighty. And this is God Almighty as an infant. He's God Almighty as a child. He's God Almighty as a man, and the world was still under his control. Yeah, the moon didn't stop shining. And the stars didn't fall out of the sky when he died because he still was in control. Good God Almighty, you're talking about a mighty God. This child is an awesome child. This child is a loving child. This child is full of compassion. This child grew up to be a man, and he said, I'm going to do the works that my father called me to do. And when he got down in Garden of Gethsemane, the first sign that sin is devastating, sin destroys, sin kills, and people are dying today without Jesus Christ. And the reason they're dying, because, number one, it's appointed for men once to die and after death. But one thing about it, you ought to make very sure that you know the man that was born in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. You ought to know the man that the three wise men came to see. You ought to know the man that got in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Lord God Almighty, if you can find another avenue for me to escape the crucifixion, let me take that route. But God himself couldn't find no other route. And so what he did, he went on from Garden of Gethsemane, and they came and got him that night and took him on up into the judgment hall. And they got him at the judgment hall. Yeah, they tied him up And early in the morning, oh, by the break of dawn, they took him down to the execution, and they whipped him. They whipped him 39 times, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they called him everything but the Son of God. And when they called him everything but the Son of God, he didn't say a mumbling word. What did this child do? This child grew up. And when he grew up, he knew one thing about it, because Isaiah said this is what he's going to be able to do. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah said, look at him, who has believed our report, to whom of the arm of the Lord is revealed. Listen, this child, this baby born in a manger, he said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, a tender child, as a root out of a dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him, and there is no beauty that we should desire him. And the writer is saying here, when they got through with Jesus hanging on the cross, when they got through beating him and mutilating him, they tell me men cannot look upon him. Men cannot see him looking like that. He was beaten beyond recognition. His face was bruised. His jaws and eyes was closed. And they tell me his back was like a piece of hamburger. They whipped him. Oh, yes, they did. Sin hung him on Calvary. Sin calls him. They say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, because God knew. He knew he had to go through with this, because if he didn't go through with it, man could not be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. If he would have stayed in the grave, and if I would have been born, I still would be a candidate for hell, and you too, and the whole world would be a candidate for hell itself. And you know, after Jesus Christ died and rose again, and the world is saying, I don't want this child. I don't want him telling me what to do. He's grown now, so I got to change my attitude towards him. I don't love Jesus because he wants me to live like him, and I don't want to live like him. I don't want to talk like him. I don't want to walk like him. But still, you want to go to heaven. Well, you can't go until you accept him as Lord and Savior. You can't go until you repent of your sins and have a contrite spirit and turn from your wicked ways, because that's the only way you can get to heaven. That's the only way you can get to heaven, my friends. That's the only way you can get to heaven. What I'm trying to tell you, this Christmas thing got out of hand. It got out of hand. People ain't thinking nothing about Jesus Christ. And by the way, information, I'm going to give you some information. I'm going to give you some study information. I'm going to give you some research information. It wasn't no December that Jesus Christ was born. It was September. It was September. And this year holiday that people are selling is a paganism holiday. It got into the system during the time of Constantine. They brought Santa Claus in. They brought reindeers in. They brought little old elves in. They brought all kind of things. And let me tell you something. If you would spell Santa another way, whoo, listen, if you would spell Santa another way, you could spell it Satan. Satan. Get me now. Santa Claus, S-A-N-T-A. And you can spell S-A-T-A-N. Satan is the author of Santa Claus. Oh, yes, I know what you're saying. Oh, that's cute, big, fat belly man with a long beard on. And he's riding reindeer. That's for the kiddies. Well, you telling the kiddies wrong. That's not what it's all about. It's all about God. It's all about his son. It's all about the manger. It's all about the wise men. It's all about the shepherd boys. It's all about what God sent his only son to die, that Brother Bazaar wouldn't have to go to hell. Because I don't care how long I preach, if I don't care how long I sing songs, I don't care how long I do all that church work and everything, I don't care. If I haven't been born again, I'll bust hell wide open because I'm not going to heaven by works. I'm going to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. I admit that I used to be a sinner. Not saying I don't sin no more, but I used to be a sinner, but now I'm a saint. Saint don't mean I'm going around with a halo around my head flying through the air. A saint means that I've been bought with a price. I've been sealed with the Spirit. I've been redeemed by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Not the Baptist church, not the Methodist church, not the Catholic church, not the occults, not the Illuminati, not the secret society, not Balaam. No other God in heaven or in earth could do what Jesus Christ done, because he is God, and he's the only one that could redeem man back to God. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's it. You're not going no other way. You're not going by buying a whole lot of gifts and having a party and drinking and get drunk. Oh my God, you're not going by what you do on your own, because if you don't do it through the faith of Jesus Christ and know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and admit it and accept it, and man, let me tell you, be born again, wrapped up in the love of God, and the Bible says you know you pass from death to life because you love the brother. I'm talking about the white brother, the black brother, the Chinese brother, the Jewish brother. I'm talking about loving everybody. I'm talking about loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbors thyself. I'm talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about love that those that hate you, you can love them. Those that mistreat you, you can love them. Those that talk about you, you can love them. I'm talking about God's love, not my love, because I ain't got no love except to come from God. And if it don't come from God, I just got that earthly sensual love. I got that love because you love me. I'm talking about that love that loves the unlovely. Jesus loves the unlovely. He wants to make them lovely. And the only way you can become lovely is through Christ. Because many, many, many people today can confess Christ with their lips, but their hearts are far from it. They don't know nothing about God. Don't have the love of God. Don't have the faith in God. Don't have the stamina in God. Don't have the get up and go and serve the Lord and tell somebody about this Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, Jesus Christ came the first time to seek and save those in love. He died, brothers and sisters. He died. He died. I know he died. I know he got up. How do I know that? I know that because one Friday he got up in me. And when he got up in me, he resurrected me from a dead spirit to a live spirit. And now I can confess it with my mouth, and I believe with my heart that he is what? Coming back again. He's coming back again. And if I'm going to celebrate anything, I'm going to celebrate the second coming of Jesus Christ. Right now, I'm celebrating. I'm telling the Lord that, come on back. Come on soon as possible you can. Come on back, because I want to see you. I want to live with you. I want you. I'm tired of this world. I don't love. I'm not in this love. I ain't in love with this life that much to want to stay here. And I'm not going to do nothing crazy to leave here. I'm going to let the Lord take me out of here. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, he's coming back again. Brothers and sisters, he's coming back again. Church members, he's coming back again. Preachers, he's coming back again. Because he said, before I come back, the world is going to come in a chaotic condition. It's going to be a bad signs of times. And brother, we are living in a bad signs of times. The world is wicked, full of sin. The Bible says the whole world lies in sin. People denying the birth of Jesus Christ. You know how I know deny? Because they're not celebrating the real meaning of Christmas. They're not getting serious about why he came in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. He come to die for you, for me, that I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Because if you don't know Christ, you're going to hell. Now, you can believe that or not. Now, if you want to be, I'll go back and talk to Nicodemus and tell you what he said. He said, can I being old, go back into my mother's womb. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. No, you can't do that. You're old, and you can't be unborn something and let it be born again. Can't unborn that. He said, you must be born again, Nicodemus. Except the man be born of the Spirit and of the water. Listen, listen now. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he said, if you don't go to church, then he said, you give your money, you can go to heaven. No, it didn't say that. It said, you must be born again, Nick. He was a Pharisee. He was a rabbi. He had the high learning in the Jewish culture. He knew the Old Testament. He knew all about Moses. He knew all those patriarchs. And if you want to be a little more formal, it was a good man, but his heart wasn't right. He didn't know Jesus Christ. He didn't know who God was. And he said, I know you come from God, because no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Only God can do miracles. I mean, holy miracles. The devil can do miracles too, but they are unholy. And Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, and if you had 7.1 billion people on the earth, and you name them all Nicodemus, every one of those Nicodemus would have to be born again, just like Nicodemus had to be born again for order for him to enter in to the kingdom of God. Anybody without the new birth. Oh, listen to me. The new birth. You must be born of the Spirit and of the water. In other words, you must be in existence, because a baby stays in the mother's womb for 9 months in water, floats around in water. That water keeps him alive. And when that baby is born, that water breaks from the woman, and that baby comes out the womb. That's the natural birth. So in order for him to come, for him to exist in the womb, he has to have water in the womb, and that water comes, that baby comes out. And here he said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Now, you got to be born of the Spirit, because you've already been born of the water. And the water, amen. Woo! Of water, the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ told the woman at the well, I'll give you some water. And that water bubbles up inside, which is eternal life. If you're born of the Spirit, then you're born of God. God lives in you through his Son, Jesus Christ. You are a child of God by faith. The Bible says, you know that you have passed from death to life. Because, why? You love the brethren. Who? You love people. You love black people. You love white people. You like Jews. You love them. 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 Why? Because God is in you. And if God is in you, then you can say, look, I understand John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loves every human being on this planet. He has no respect for person. He'll save anybody that want to be saved, and that's what you're going to have to be. You're going to have to want to be saved. You're going to have to want to turn from sin and destruction. You're going to have to want to turn from whoremongering and lying and cheating and backbiting and cussing and doing all the wicked things that Lucifer had, because the Lucifer, one thing, he can't stand. He can't stand. He can't stand the cross. The devil hates the cross. He cannot stand the cross, because he knows there is where salvation lies for your soul. He knows works can't save you. He knows your education. The devil knows that. He knows materialistic things can't save you. And I ain't got nothing against going to church. You need to go to church. But when you go, you need to hear the word of God. And the churches today is not preaching the word of God. They're preaching prosperity. They're preaching money. They're preaching fame. They're preaching glory. They're preaching recognition. They're preaching everything But the real meaning of Christmas. Santa Claus is not Christmas. Reindeers are not Christmas. No. Giving people gifts is not Christmas. Did you know that? Because you really can't give nobody no gift. That gift that you give somebody, if it's a new car, hey, it ain't going to last long. Jesus Christ can give you eternal life. The devil can't. You ever had the devil offer you eternal life? No, because he's eternally damned. He is eternally damned. And he wants you to have your Christmas here on earth and forget about the real meaning of the birth of Christ and reject the sacrificial death that Jesus Christ made. And if he can keep you away from the cross, keep you away from the mercy and the goodness of God, if he can keep you away from that by giving you other little taxes to play with, other little baby toys to play with, and say, well, if I can get him in the grave now, I got it. If I can get him to reject Christ and I can get some way for my demons to go out there and kill him, or I can use this coronavirus and cause people to die without Christ. God got him. I got him, buddy. Because if you die without Christ, the devil got you. He got you forever. If you're praising the world and giving the worldly system praises and living luscious and joking and fooling around, the devil said, man, I got to keep that dude from going to church. And if he do go to church, I don't want the preacher to preach too hard, because and the person goes, well, I can't take that man. He's talking about me. Well, you need to fall under conviction, because people are not conviction. They don't got no conviction today. Conviction means that you are dealing with a God of gods. You're dealing with a merciful God. You're dealing with a God slow to anger, rich in mercy. You're dealing with a God that gives you grace to get an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. God has given you all the opportunity in the world tonight. Oh, but you want to go on a Black Friday, you want to party, and you want to buy everybody gifts, and you're forgetting the meaning. But there's no gift that you can give anybody like the gift that Jesus Christ gave his life. And he can't die no more for you. He can't die no more for me. He died once and for all. And brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, in-laws and outlaws, friend and enemy, please, whatever you do this coming year, make sure your soul is right with God. And the only way you can get right with God, you've got to repent and come down with a contrite spirit, a contrite heart, a sorrowful heart, that you have sinned against a holy God. And God cannot change his attributes. He cannot become unholy for your benefit. He is holy. He is holy. He is holy forever and old and ever and ever. He was holy before I was born, and he'll be holy when I'm dead and gone. He'll be holy when the world won't be here no more. He'll be holy, 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 and he can't live with nothing unholy. And the only way that you can become holy is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood that flow from Emmanuel's name. If the sinner fall beneath the flow, he'll lose all of his guilty stain. Isaiah said, listen, he grow up like a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. There won't be no comeliness that look like him. And we should see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. Listen, Jesus Christ, that baby in the manger, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. What you say? God took the whipping, took the beating. Because if I were to pay, like I said, pay for my own sins, I might have got far as the Garden of Gethsemane. Because if I would have got to the Garden of Gethsemane, I would have ran away. I would have told them suckers, get your hands off of me. I'm not going to do this. I can't do this. It's impossible for me to do this. Don't kill me. If you kill me and believe that I can die for my own sins, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I'm going to hell. Because sin cannot abode with God Almighty. But I thank God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I got a bondsman. I got a redeemer. I got a emancipator. I got a counselor. I got the Almighty God. I got the Everlasting Father. I got the Prince of Peace. He will pay the price for my sin. And he can't pay it with gold, silver, brass. He can't pay it with anything that's materialistic. It took his blood to pay for my sins. And when the devil sees the blood of Jesus Christ in your heart, in your soul, he can't do nothing with you. He can't unsave you, take it away from you, because the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away, and I'm in the hollow of God's hand, and no man can pluck me out of my Father's hand, because I'm in the eternal hand. I'm in the everlasting hand, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, 110%, 120%, though, if the Lord would take my soul right now, I know where I would be. I would go to heaven, not because I'm good, not because I'm bad, not because I'm disobedient, but because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and he is in love with me now and forevermore. He loved me so much, and he loved you so much. And here you are trying to find peace of mind. You're trying to find serenity. But Jesus Christ has done his first works. His second works is when he get ready to come back to this earth. And my friends, he's coming back. He's coming back. He's not going to be in Jerusalem. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. There ain't going to be no three wise men coming. But he's coming in power. And in great glory, he's coming back to this earth. And when he comes back to this earth, he's going to eliminate the sinners out of the land. All the people that are sinners are going to have to go through a judgment, which is called the tribulation period. The tribulation period. Because before Christ comes, there is going to be a rapture. He's coming in the clouds. He's going to catch up the body of Christ. The dead in Christ shall get up out the graves, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture. And there is a rapture. There's not no mid-rapture. There's not no post-rapture. It's pre-rapture. Christ is going to rapture the church. And when the church is raptured, that's going to be the beginning of the tribulation period. And I want to let you know without a shadow of a doubt, 110%, the Antichrist is on the earth now. He's alive. Coming out of Western Europe. He's a king. He's already been a prince. And when he comes, he's going to come just what the world wants. And the world, listen to what I'm saying now. I ain't playing. This false Messiah that's coming, the world is going to fall in love with him. They're going to go head over heels over him. The Jews are going to believe that this is their Messiah, and it's not going to be their true Messiah. It's going to be a fake Messiah. It's going to be a quack. It's going to be the devil's unique specimen of the best thing he has to offer the world, and that is, I'm going to offer you peace and serenity, and I'm going to straighten out the world, and I'm going to be able to make prophecy. I'm going to be able to make prediction. I'm going to tell the world that I am God Almighty. I am the Christ that y'all been looking for, and the world is waiting for it. Why? Because this here Christ will not reprove sin. This Christ didn't die on the cross. This Christ ain't got no nail prints in his hand. This Christ ain't got nothing, and people are going to accept him as the Messiah because they don't believe in the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so now they believe that he is the Christ just because he said he did miracles. And the Bible says, and the whole world will be deceived. The Antichrist is here. The Jews are getting ready. They're getting ready for the two helpers. They're getting ready to build a temple. They're getting ready for the priesthood. They're getting ready for the offer of sacrifices as they did in the Old Testament. They're getting ready for the temple site to build this year, temple for the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with them pretty soon. He's going to make a covenant with the Jewish people, and he's going to tell the Jews, I'm going to give you 7 years of protection, of peace. And I'm going to let you build your temple. I'm going to let you offer the old sacrifices because the Jews don't believe. They don't believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again and coming back again. They believe that he's coming this time to what? Overthrow and set up the millennial kingdom the first time, and he didn't do it, so that's why they're rejecting him. But this time they're going to reject the false Messiah. Jesus Christ said, look, if I come in my Father's name, my Father's name is Jesus Christ. Y'all will not receive me. But if another man come in his own name, they're all going to receive him. And when he said own name, he means the Antichrist going to come in his own name. And the Jewish are going to accept him. And God said, I promised Abraham, I promised Ezekiel, I promised Isaiah, I promised all those prophets, major and minor prophets, that before I come back again, I'm going to give the Jews their last 7 years that I owe them. Because I owe them 490 years that I'm going to deal with the Jewish people. And I only dealt with them for 483 years. The 483 years, the Jewish nation was cut off, and God grafted the Gentiles into the church. And ever since then, the church has been grafted in. But at the rapture of the church, God is going to go back to the Jewish, and he's going to cut off the branches and graft what? Graft the Jews back in. And when he grafts them back in, he's going to give them 7 years of judgment, and this judgment will follow up with the Antichrist. This Antichrist will do miracles. He will make all the presidents, all the world dictators that ever been, all the senators, all the governors look like Mickey Mouse. This man actually, realistically, in the middle of the tribulation, when he's going to be assassinated and he's going to be killed and lay in the morgue for 3 days and three nights, and on the third day he's going to get up just like Jesus got up, but it's going to be a phony, a quack revelation, and it's going to be the devil himself. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, will be cast out of heaven. In the middle of the tribulation, when the Antichrist would be killed, he's going to come down and incarnate himself in the Antichrist and raise him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead, he's going to claim to be God Almighty, but he will become the beast. And the beast will make the world bow down to him by receiving a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. This is coming up. This is coming up. The coronavirus is a prelude of dominating the world. But the coronavirus is nothing to do really with being the actually mark. It's a prelude of the mark. But the mark don't come until 3.5 years in the middle of the tribulation. And men, boys and girls, the government, the Illuminatis, all the occults will follow after the beast. And they will be putting a mark up on their forehead or in their right hand. And that will terminate whether you can buy or sell. The coronavirus is a prelude to say, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't work. You can't go on your job. You can't do this. And so the mark of the beast says, if you don't receive the mark of this beast, of this year, electronic, state-of-the-art communication technique, you will not be able to buy or sell. See the difference? Buy or sell. In other words, you will not be able to do any kind of business until you receive that mark, pewter chip, placed on your body or in your hand. And nobody, people won't have no problem because they're already tattooing their bodies. They're writing all over their body. So this year tattoo will be a tattoo whether you live or whether you die. If you don't receive the mark, woo! If you don't receive the mark of the beast, then you will be beheaded by a guillotine. The United States will fall under the hand of the beast. You hear what I said? The United States will fall under the hand of the beast. In other words, the guillotine will be the way to execute people, those who refuse the mark. You will be executed by a guillotine. For your information and my study in Bible prophecy and studying the history of the United States and other countries, there's one machine that was used in ancient times, back then in the 1700s. It's called the guillotine. And the guillotine is a way of executing people by beheading them. And the United States now has, there ain't nobody going to tell you this. The United States ain't going to tell you. The government ain't going to tell you this. The Illuminatis ain't going to tell you this. The Freemasons ain't going to tell you this. None of those secret societies are going to tell you that they got 60,000 guillotines in the United States now. 60,000. Now, how many states? We got 50 states. Divide 50 into 60,000. Maybe each state might get 2 or 3. But they're going to increase the count. But they got guillotines in army bases. In Atlanta, Georgia, and Alabama. They got guillotines, y'all. And the one that instituted to bring guillotines over here is Barack Obama. Barack Obama instituted to bring guillotines in the United States, and he believes in beheading. He's not the Antichrist, but he's an agent of the Antichrist. He will be working for the Antichrist when he comes. Because most of the government presidents and senators are Antichrists, because they belong to a secret society called the Illuminati and the Bohemian Grove. And they believe in Baphomet. They believe in witchcraft. They believe in voodoo. They believe in all these deities that's working day and night now in the land that we're living in. America's going to fall under the iron fist of the devil himself. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The devil himself is coming to this planet. UFOs and flying objects and deities are taking over. They're coming out of the pits of hell, and they're ruling the society right now. They got people going crazy, doing anything, saying anything, closing church doors, preachers preaching prosperity and not salvation. This is what this little baby was born in the manger for, to seek and save humanity. If humanity reject him, he's going to be the judge when the day of judgment comes. This same baby that you sent away in the manger, silent night, holy night. He can be your friend or he can be your enemy. And this is a Christ rejected world. Christ is not worried about too much you going to church. He wants to know, have you repented of your sin? Have you repented of your sin? You can go to church all your life. If you don't repent and accept this child, accept this one laid in the manger, accept his deity, that he died and rose again, you're going to die and go to hell. They're getting train cars ready, FEMA camps. They got coffins to put people's body in. It's getting ready. The Freemasons are working behind the scenes. The Shriners. All these organizations that you think, oh, they're so nice. They're taking care of little kitties and they're taking care of people. They are furnishing money and all this. Oh, they look like they're so nice. They must be doing God's work. Amen. But God ain't in it. God ain't in it. Not saying that they don't have the right to take it. It's good that they're doing something, but they doing it off of camouflaging to make you feel like they are so religious. But the devil ain't care nothing about little kids. He's not. Because if he did, he would be trying to wipe these babies out. 60 million babies a year pulled out of women's womb, cutting them up, using them for specimens. Little young girls prostituting and child pornography. The devil don't care about your children. Don't care about you or whoever you are. The only one that can stand against Lucifer and his demons and his diabolical devil gods is Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in these last and evil days, you want to bust hell wide open. Why you want to wait so long? You need to come to Christ. Right now, you need to come to Christ. I don't know. This may be the last, well, you want to call it so-called Christmas. But this may be the last year you ever see somebody call themselves celebrating Christmas. Next year, it's going to be what? Hell on earth. It's hell on earth now. Storms and tornadoes and earthquakes and pestilence and diseases and automobile accidents and drug addicts and the whoremongers and prostitution and diseases spreading and syphilis and gonorrhea and all this stuff is wiping out. Coronavirus and HIV and homosexuality and punks and faggots are running and streamlining like ain't nothing going to happen. But let me tell you something. You better get anchored in Jesus Christ. You better get anchored in Jesus Christ, because without you being anchored in Jesus Christ, the devil going to wipe you off the face of the earth because you haven't trusted in the only child that was born wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now he's coming. He's coming back. He's coming back as a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming back with crowns on his head. He's coming back on a white horse. He's coming back with the church. And he's going to set up his millennial kingdom. He's coming back to fight at the Battle of Armageddon. He's coming back to make the wrong right. He's coming back to restore the earth back into its rightful place and put it in the hands of the God of Abraham. He's coming back, saints. He's coming back. If you're not going to the church, not going to a church where the preacher is preaching, woo, salvation. He's not preaching the rapture. He's not preaching redemption. He's not preaching the resurrection. He's not preaching holiness. If he ain't preaching it, you better get out and go home and fall on your knees and say, Lord, show me the way. Because let me tell you, if you're not following Jesus Christ, you ain't following nobody. Because these preachers ain't leading nobody to heaven. They lead them to hell. Where they going? because they want that money. They want that fame. They want that glory. They want that women. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is coming back dressed in royal dyed beard. You ought to be ready, because when the church is taken out, he said, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. The church is going to be missing pretty soon. War is coming. Iran and Pakistan, Russia is coming. Ukraine, all the Middle East is in flames right now. What I'm talking about, they're getting ready for a World War III. A World War III is coming without a shout, without a doubt. I'm putting it on the line. Because when that twinkling of an eye comes, I'm gone. I'm going to meet the Lord in the air. And guess what? It's free. I don't have to worry about getting on no plane, no helicopter, no rocket. I'm going to be chained. Mortal body will be changed to immortality. And I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Because I want to be with him. I love him. I'm crazy about him. Woo, he's the lover of my soul. He's the one that kept me from my cradle until this present day. I'm going to preach about him. I'm going to talk about him. I'm going to exalt him. I'm going to praise him. Why? Because we only got a few more days here. Amen. This society only can take too much more. You can't trust nobody now. Church folks is just, some of them, is just as crooked than those that's out in the world. Some of them just talking with their lips, but they ain't got no Holy Ghost. No Holy Ghost ain't there. It just ain't there. If the Holy Ghost was there, you can tell if it's there. You live it. You talk it. You walk it. You express it. And God is the first one in your life. I ain't got no second place in my life. Jesus Christ is my first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, on down. Nobody like Jesus. The one that you call that worship. The one that's in the manger. Well, he's out of the manger now. And he's coming dressed in royal diadem. And the church is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And there we will have the judgment seat of Christ. And Christ will judge the church. And the church is under judgment now. The church is under judgment now. Church folks are being judged. The last church on the scene is Laodicea. And it says, you neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. I'm going to gurgitate you. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you playing a hypocrite on me. You lying. The Bible says, if a man say he love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. There's a lot of folks talking about they love God and hate their brother. You're a liar. And no liar will tarry in the eyesight of God Almighty. My friends, Christmas is not just a Christmas tree and lights. It means that the Savior was born. It means that he was born for one reason. Pay for your sins. And if you haven't had your sins paid for, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have to pay for your own. And the payment is hell, death, and the lake of Gehenna. Don't go to hell. Don't go. Don't let your friends talk you out of it. Accept Christ today. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D. Once and for all. And if Christ will come a second after you accept Jesus Christ, you will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air right now. Don't be caught with your works undone. Jesus Christ is no longer in a manger. He's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, getting ready to come back to get the church. And then the 7-year tribulation will begin. and the red, the white horse will ride, the red horse will ride, the black horse will ride, and the pale, sick-looking horse will ride. The Antichrist will come. War will hit the earth. There's going to be a food shortage on the planet. And they're already talking about food shortages right now. People trying to gather up food. People drilling holes in the ground, going underground. The Illuminati's and the Freemasons got an underground tunnel to try to hide from the wrath of the Almighty. People drinking more, lying more, sex more. Woo! They gone mad. People going into more sports. More people find recreations and do all kinds of things to try to blot out what's getting ready to happen. Because let me tell you, honey bunny, this is Brother Bizarre, preacher. I'm a little crazy according to the world. I'm a little crazy according to the devil. I'm a little crazy with all his imps because they say, you done lost your mind. You talking all that stuff. You trying to scare. I ain't trying to scare you. No, I ain't scare you. It's just like this.